Last weekend, we began together a study through the Old Testament book of Proverbs. We began together by asking the question, why Proverbs? And we unpacked the statement last weekend that I want you to look at again, and I want you to actually read it off the screen with me this morning. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. The book of Proverbs was written to give us God's wisdom. Wisdom for every area of life. Every situation that we would face, every circumstance that we would encounter, it was written to give us wisdom for every area of life, regardless of your stage in life. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young, a new Christian, or somebody who's walking on this journey called Christianity for a long time. Proverbs gives us wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. And we defined the word wisdom also last weekend, and I want to give you that definition again this morning. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective. That's what wisdom is. It's the ability in every situation in life to see that situation, to see that circumstance from the perspective of God. To understand God's desire, God's heart, God's mind in every conceivable situation in life. And we entered together last weekend on a journey. Remember at the end of the service last weekend, we decided together to join in a journey. And the journey was really a threefold process. And I want to open again this morning by explaining that journey, because maybe you weren't here with us last weekend. This is your first weekend here, just so you'll know where we're headed for the next 4 months. We've entered into a journey. First of all, it's a community journey. Together as a church body, as a community of believers, we have joined together for the next 4 months to explore the book of Proverbs. We're doing that in our weekend services. We're doing that in our connection groups and small groups that are kicking off this week. We're doing that in all of our children's classes and Hope for Kids. All throughout our church and our student ministry services, we are exploring the book of Proverbs together. Secondly, it's a family journey. We're asking every family in our church, every family that regularly attends Hope, to set aside some time during the week when you can discuss as a family wise behavior. You can discuss from the weekend services or from connection groups or from your own personal devotional life, but in that family context, you're gathering to discuss wise behavior. Now, it may be around the breakfast table, it may be at dinner, it may be a night that you set aside. I don't know how you do that. That's up to each and every family. We're not saying how. It's just a matter of you deciding for your family when the best time is and setting that aside and discussing wise behavior. We've even put some helps on the internet on our website at hopebaptistchurch.com. You can go and there's some links you can click under our family ministries page that will give you insight into how as a family you can make the most of that time with your wife and your children or whoever your immediate family happens to be. The third part of the journey is a personal journey. It's a personal journey. Not only are we doing this together as a community of believers and as families, but we're asking every person in our church, every person for the next 4 months to daily read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Most months have either 30 or 31 days in the month. So the day you would read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. For example, today's the 16th of September. So this morning, as a part of my devotional time, I read from Proverbs chapter 16. Seeking daily wisdom, everlasting wisdom from everyday life. We're asking every person to do that for the next 4 months and then to journal. Out of your daily reading from the book of Proverbs, to journal as God speaks truth and wisdom into your heart. We have journals available. If you need to pick one up here, if you have your own journal, that's fine. But the principle is that as God speaks truth and wisdom into your heart, you write it down so that you can share that with your family, so that you can share that in small groups and connection groups, sharing wisdom that God's given you out of personally seeking Him. Now, this morning is a little bit of a checkup and some accountability, like we talked about last week. And I want to ask for a show of hands today. How many of you weren't perfect, but this week you at least tried to begin reading the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month? Let me see your hand. Look at there. A lot of people begin trying to read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. And I've already begun to hear so many stories and testimonies from people that God is speaking wisdom into their life. Somebody even said, man, I had a decision I had to make. And that morning, God had spoken right out of the book of Proverbs into that decision that came up during my day. So that's what we're doing as a church family. Well, this week, I've been doing the same thing. I've been reading the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month, and this week, God continued to speak to my heart around a certain theme. God really began to just burden my heart through different days around this same theme, and I want to share from that with you this morning. Now, you may find as I share out of Proverbs from where God's been speaking to me this week, it's not exactly the same place that God's been speaking to you, but I get the microphone this morning, so I get to share with you what God's been doing in my life. But I want to share with you several verses out of this past week's reading of Proverbs, and I want you to hear this theme. First of all, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. The Bible says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Then the next day in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, listen to what it says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Then again the next day, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, listen to what it says. Through insolence, the word insolence is a word that means presumption, to presume, to make the decision without having all the information. Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Then again in chapter 13, verse 20, it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And then lastly, yesterday morning, Proverbs 15 and verse 22, listen to what it said. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Over and over again this week, God was speaking truth into my life, everlasting wisdom for everyday life, about the subject of making wise decisions. Making wise decisions. Every one of us has decisions on a daily basis that we have to make. Every one of us have situations and circumstances where choices have to be made. The book of Proverbs speaks wisdom into our life about making wise decisions. Now, I want to go ahead and say this up front. You may not leave today and say, man, Pastor Vance, that's the greatest sermon you've ever preached. Wow. But I promise you this. The truth that we're looking at from the book of Proverbs today could be as transformational as anything we've ever looked at. If you will take these principles and begin to practically apply them to your lives, I promise you they will bring change and transformation. Not because it's my idea, it is the wisdom of God from the book of Proverbs about making wise decisions. So let me give you three truths that kind of govern this principle of making wise decisions. Here's the first one. Wise decision making begins with humility. Wise decision making begins with humility. In order to make wise decisions, there are two realities that we must come to grips with. If you and I are going to make wise decisions, there are two realities that we must wrap our heart around and acknowledge wholeheartedly. Here's the first one. I am capable of making the wrong decision. Now, we laugh at that, but that's the first step in wise decision making. You remember what Proverbs chapter 12 said as we read it a moment ago? Look at it again. The way of a fool is what? Right in his own eyes. The Bible says if you think you're always right, that's foolish. The first step towards making wise decisions is an acknowledgement that I am absolutely capable of making the wrong decision. When I read that verse this week in my quiet time, in my personal devotional time, I wrote down two statements in my journal. Here's the first one. My opinion is never enough. My opinion's never enough. My opinion is no better than anybody else's opinion. And when I'm looking at decisions in my life, my opinion's not enough. I need to hear from other people that can speak truth into my life. The second statement I wrote down is this: my perspective is always limited. There are always things in a situation that I can't see from my perspective. And it takes seeking counsel from others to be able to gain a well-rounded perspective of the situation that is before me. I am absolutely capable of making the wrong decision. To assume that I'm always going to be right and to act without input from other people is to act foolishly. I want to speak for just a moment directly to all of the men in the audience. Men, this is a big deal for us. To admit that we are capable of wrong goes against our very nature as men. If you don't believe me, just go on vacation with your family, get lost, and see how long it takes you to stop and ask directions. I had a lady after the morning service went out and she said, my husband and I went to Hawaii one time. We were trying to find the school there, and we were trying to find a particular building on the school there, and we drove around for 3 hours and he wouldn't have ever asked for directions. Well, as men, sometimes we fail to admit that we can be wrong. And the first step towards making right decisions is to acknowledge that I'm capable of making wrong decisions. As spiritual leaders, it is imperative that we acknowledge this and choose not to live simply leaning on our own wisdom and understanding. Number one, I'm capable of making wrong decisions, but here's the second reality, and you must wrap your heart around this if you're going to make wise decisions. I need God's guidance to make the right decision. Not only I'm capable of making wrong decisions, but I need God's guidance to make right decisions. Let me take it a step further. Not only am I capable of making wrong decisions, but apart from the grace of God, apart from the guidance of God in my life, apart from His direction and His wisdom, not only am I capable, I will make wrong decisions in my life. You know what humility says? Humility says, I need God. Now, nobody in the building, none of us would say out of our mouths, God, I don't need you. But the way we make decisions a lot of times does say that. Now, I understand that when we have big, major, life-altering decisions that we have to make, then we all become prayer warriors and we want to know what God has to say about it. But in the day-to-day routine of life, many times we make decisions as if we don't need God at all. We totally disregard Him and pay no attention to what He would say. We don't seek input from other people. We don't seek input from God's Word. We just rush through making decisions. But the starting point, the beginning place for wise decision-making is humility, which acknowledges that I am absolutely dependent on God for every detail of my life. Left to myself, I will screw my life up. I will. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm capable and I will make wrong decisions. But as I live in dependence on the Holy Spirit of God and I approach God with a spirit of humility that says, God, in every detail of my life, I need you. That's the first step in making wise decisions. As you study the New Testament, the primary characteristic of the life of Jesus Christ was humility. Jesus lived His life moment by moment in dependence on the Father. Every miracle Jesus performed, every word that Jesus spoke, every place that Jesus went, He did so out of the overflow of His dependence on the Father. How many times in the Gospels do we read where Jesus, before making a decision, would slip away all by Himself, just to get the heart of the Father? He would leave the disciples. He would leave the multitudes. He would leave the crowds. He would leave the people that legitimately had need and go spend time alone with the Father. Humility. As you and I make decisions on a day in and day out basis, we must begin with a spirit of humility that says to the Father, I need you. Now, this is a paradigm shift. It's shifting from trusting in myself to trusting in God. No longer do I trust in myself to make those day in and day out decisions. I begin to trust in Him. It's moment by moment dependence on Him. If I was going to say this morning, what are the most famous verses out of the book of Proverbs? If there are two verses that everybody knows from the book of Proverbs, it is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. What do those verses say? They say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Stop right there. Let me tell you what that means. That means I need God to make the right decisions. That's what he's acknowledging right there. Don't trust in myself. God, I need you. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Look at the next phrase. And do not lean on your own understanding. You know what he says there? God, I need you to make decisions because I'm capable of making the wrong decisions. I can't lean on my own understanding. Then what does he say? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means in every detail of my life, every decision, I live my life with the acknowledgement, the reality that God, I'm capable of messing it up. Lord, I'm living in dependence on you, trusting you to guide me in every decision of my life. Then look what the promise is. And He will what? Make your paths straight. Now we all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Does anybody know what verse 7 says? Look what verse 7 says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. The beginning of wise decision making is humility. Recognizing let me tell you the reason we're doing this study through the book of Proverbs together, why we're encouraging every person to read the book of Proverbs every day, because we know that if we're going to be about making wise decisions, it begins by living my life out of the overflow of intimacy with God, where on a day-by-day basis, I'm seeking Him for wisdom for the practical areas of my life. It begins with humility. Let me give you the second truth. Wise decision-making always includes seeking counsel. Wise decision-making always includes seeking counsel. The reality is that I need God's guidance in my life to make wise decisions. He does this through my relationship with Him daily in His Word. But He also speaks truth into my life through other people. Five times this week, five times from the book of Proverbs, we read, there's victory in counsel. There's victory in seeking input from others. I did something yesterday. I tried to think back over my life, to think back on some of the unwise decisions that I've made. And it took me a little while. There's a bunch of them. We all have them. But I was thinking back over my life, and here's the conclusion I reached. Almost every unwise decision I've ever made could have been avoided if I'd simply sought the counsel of someone else. Think back over your life, the choices and decisions you've made. If you'd simply not acted in your own wisdom, if you'd simply not assumed that you knew best, if you'd simply not assumed that your perspective was the only perspective and sought some input from other people, how could that have changed the decisions that you'd made? Wise decision making always includes seeking counsel. Now, if we're going to seek counsel, there are three musts that have to be in place. Here's the first one. My relationships must include people I trust to speak wisdom into my life. My relationships must include people I trust to speak wisdom into my life. Let me ask you a question. Who influences your life the most? I don't want you to answer it out loud. Just think about that in your heart. But I want you to think about that person or group of people that you would consider your closest friends. The people that speak into your life and have significant influence in your life. Now, thinking about that, I want you to look at this verse again out of Proverbs 13. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. That word companion there is a word, it's not referring to professionals, all right? Here we're not talking about a situation where it's to make wise decisions. I've always got to set an appointment, go meet with a professional counselor or a pastor so I can get some input into my life. No. Here the Bible is talking about relationships of intimacy, people that are close in your life, friendships that are speaking into your life. And the Bible says, I must have relationships in my life with people that I trust to speak wisdom into my life. I had an aha moment this week when I was thinking about this. Here's the aha moment that I had. The truth is, wise decision making begins before decisions ever even come up. Way before I get to the point of making a decision, I've already made a decision about the people that are close to me that are speaking into my life. And if the decision that I've made about those people that are speaking into my life is not made wisely, then way before I ever deal with any of the other situations, I've already begun to act foolishly. I want to give you a statement on the screen. I don't have many original thoughts, but I had one this week and it was so good I wrote it down. I wanted you to see it. Look what it says. The relational choices I make set the environment from which decisions will be made. The relational choices that I make set the environment from which decisions will be made. That's why he said that he who walks with wise men will be wise. The relational choices that I make set the environment. We see this very obviously in the life of teenagers. When you look at teenagers, the relational choices that they make set the environment for the decisions that they will make. Isn't that true? Wouldn't we all agree with that? I mean, all the teenagers in the building here this morning, I'm not picking on you. It just is what it is. You select friends in your life, and the decisions that you make are going to be made out of the environment of the influences that are in your life. And if you choose to have wise friends that give you wise counsel and lead you in a wise direction, you're going to make wise choices. If you choose friends that do not act wisely and give you wise input, you're going to make unwise choices. But this is not a principle that is disqualified by age. Moms and dads, the same thing. It may be very obvious and apparent in the life of a teenager, but mom and dad, the same principle is true for you. The people that you put around you that speak into your life set the environment for the decisions that you will make. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What do I do if I've got friendships in my life, Pastor, that aren't the right kind of friends? Well, there are really two options that you have. Number one, you can step back. And by stepping back, I mean this. You begin to lead the relationship. You begin to put the parameters and boundaries. You govern how you spend time and where you spend time and the quantity of that time. You become the influencer in that relationship versus being influenced in that relationship. But sometimes the relationship is so close and you're so influenced by a person that the only option is not just to step back, but to totally step away from a relationship. Sometimes the wisest thing you can do to prepare yourself to make wise decisions is remove a friendship from your life that speaks unwisely into your life. I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor Vance, you tell us all the time that we should be cultivating relationships with unbelievers so that they can see Christ in us and we can have an influence into their life. Now you're telling us, if I've got a friend that's an unbeliever, that I'm to pull away. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. If you're in a relationship with someone that's not a believer or that is a believer that's speaking so unwisely into your life that they're influencing you to the point you're making unwise decisions, you've already forfeited the right to be an influence for Christ in their life. They already have no influence. It's time to step away from that relationship, allow God to give you the wisdom to begin to make wise choices and set a foundation in your life from which you can begin to again be an influence in their life for Christ. My relationships must include, look at the logical steps here. If I'm going to make wise decisions always include seeking counsel. Well, if I'm going to seek counsel, that means I got to have relationships in my life that I trust to speak truth into my life. Well, let me give you the second must. I must be willing to seek input from others in my life. It's one thing to have the circle of friends. It's something altogether different to ask for their input. We must establish the intentional discipline to not make decisions without seeking counsel. I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to establish in your life this discipline. I will never make a decision without seeking input from others. Now, I understand there are the rare occasions where we just have to make a decision on the fly. And there, those are times where we can absolutely lean on the Holy Spirit of God to give us the best wisdom that we can out of our personal devotional life. But most decisions in life aren't like that. Most decisions in life, we have the time to seek input from other people to help us understand the wisest choice to make. There are really only three reasons why we would never seek counsel. One reason we wouldn't seek counsel is because of a spirit of arrogance. We think we don't need it. Proverbs speaks to that. Proverbs chapter 16 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Another reason you wouldn't seek counsel is because you don't want it. It's a rebellious spirit. Sometimes we know the decision we're about to make is not the wisest thing to do, and we don't care what anybody else has got to say about it. We don't want to hear it, so we don't even ask. Proverbs speaks to that as well. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 1. "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." You know what that means? If I'm making decisions out here on an island by myself, I'm separating myself from others. The Bible says I'm fighting against all sound wisdom. The most foolish thing that I can do, I'm fighting against the wisdom of God, is to get out there on an island, think I'm right all the time, that my opinion's all that matters, that my perspective is all-encompassing, and I make all the decisions on my own. The Bible says that's foolish. Third reason you wouldn't seek counsel is because you think you don't have time. It's a spirit of impatience. Look what Proverbs says, chapter 19, verse 2. "Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs." Most of the time when I make those decisions, think about those decisions that you've made quickly without input, without seeking God's wisdom over the course of your life. How many times did we mess those up? Proverbs says, man, if you get in a hurry. And again, there are times we just have to make decisions. But 90% of the time, we can slow down, seek God, and seek counsel. Seek input from other people. I must have relationships with people I trust to speak truth into my life. Secondly, I must seek their input. I need to ask the question. But let me give you the third must. I must be teachable and listen to the input. Otherwise, you can take steps 1 and 2 and with a spirit of legalism say, okay, I've done what Pastor Van said. I've built some relationships with people who know the Lord and I've asked for their input. I'm just not listening to it. We have to be teachable. It begins with humility again, a recognition that I'm capable of making the wrong decision. And even though I may be dead set in a direction, I need to open my mind and open my ears and open my heart to listen to people that I trust to speak wisdom. Listen, there are probably some of you here this morning that are on the brink of making decisions, and there are people around you that are speaking truth into your life. I encourage you today, listen. Listen. Unwise not to listen. A spirit of teachability that says I'm open. The Bible tells us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The word listen is a word that literally means to hear with the implication of paying attention. to listen closely, to pay attention to what I'm being taught, what I'm being told. Why? Because I trust these people. I've built relationships with them. They can speak. It may hurt sometimes. It may not be what I want to hear. But I got to process it because I've built relationships with them because I trust them to speak wisdom into my life. And sometimes our friends can see dangers in situations that we would never see because we're blinded to situations in our lives. I must be teachable. I want to show you a little paradigm, a diagram up on the screen. It begins with the word humility. Humility says to God, God, I need you. And as I approach God with a spirit of humility, guess what happens? Put that next one up there. God gives me a spirit of teachability. Because when I realize I'm capable of making the wrong decision and I need God to help me make the right one, man, I'm teachable. I'm open. I need to know what God says, and I want to hear what other people have to say about it. I'm not just going through the motions so I can check off the list and say I did everything Vance said to do the right decision. No, I need it. Man, I need input in my life. I know that I'm capable. When I have a spirit of humility that produces teachability, guess what happens? The Bible says you grow in wisdom. What's the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. You know what wisdom produces? Humility. You see this growth pattern? Man, as I humble myself before the Lord and acknowledge my need for Him, and He begins to open my heart and make me teachable, and I seek the input of others, guess what happens? I grow in wisdom. The more I grow in wisdom, guess what I know? The more I need it. Man, I've been walking with the Lord now since I was a freshman in college. I've been in full-time pastoral ministry for over 16 years. And if there's one thing I'm convinced of more today than ever before, I need God to make right decisions. You say, where does this paradigm come from? Right out of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Humility that leads to teachability, that produces wisdom, that produces humility, that leads to teachability, that grows me in wisdom, that grows me in humility. It's a growth pattern of growing in wisdom. Let me give you the third truth this morning, and with this one I close. Unwise decision making impacts my life and the life of those I'm close to. Wise decision making begins with humility and always seeks counsel. Unwise decision making impacts my life and the life of those I'm close to. And I don't have time to go into detail with all the ways that unwise decision making impacts our life, but I want to give you four impacts and just mention them. First of all, when we make unwise decisions, people get hurt. The Bible says where there's no guidance, the people fall. The word fall there literally means to fall on your face, to stumble, to trip, to fall and be hurt. When I don't approach God with a spirit of humility and seek counsel to make decisions, people always get hurt. Number two, relationships are broken. Proverbs says, through insolence, through presumption comes nothing but strife. The word strife means fighting and quarreling. When I presume and make decisions without seeking God and seeking others, I wind up severing and breaking relationships in my life. How many of us can look back over our life and see relationships that have been severed and broken because we just made unwise decisions? And if we sought God and sought counsel, we would have handled the whole thing differently. Number three, there are always unintended consequences. The writer of Proverbs says the companion of fools will suffer harm. Eugene Patterson paraphrases it this way, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. There are always consequences that you don't intend when you make unwise decisions. Here's the point, sin always costs you more than you ever wanted to pay. Number four, good intentions are wasted. The Bible says, without consultation, plans are frustrated. What does that mean? Well, have you ever wanted to do something for someone to make things better, and what you did only made things worse? That's the picture of the word frustrated. It is through counsel that often we discover that although we may have had the best of intentions, our decision was not the right one, or not done in the right way, at the right time, or with the right spirit. That's what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, man, without consultation, plans are frustrated. You may have great intentions. You may want to help somebody. But your opinion's never enough. Your perspective is always limited. Ask somebody that you trust. Give me some input. What do you think before I make this decision? Is this a way to handle it? And many times, it's through counsel that God changes our direction and we're able then to minister to someone and meet them right where they are. Otherwise, our plans get frustrated. Well, let me read you the alternative. I want you to look at what these verses say again. Proverbs 11:14 says, an abundance of counselors, there's victory. Proverbs 13 and verse 10 says, wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. And then Proverbs 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. And that's what the writer of Proverbs has to say about making wise decisions. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. God, may you speak into our lives this morning and change us, transform us, conform us to your image. Lord, help us to make wise choices and decisions. This morning, as you sit quietly before the Lord, I want to ask you a few questions. The first question is this: are you making wise decisions? Is your life right now a pattern of wise decision-making or unwise decision-making? Do you depend on God's guidance for decision-making? Do you have relationships in your life you trust to speak wisely into your life? Are there some relationships you need to step away from, step back from? Do you need to cultivate some relationships with people who can speak wisdom into your life? That's why we have connection groups and small groups, for you to be able to build relationships with people that can speak wisely into your life. Co-laborers on this journey. Are you seeking counsel from people that you trust? Are you listening to what they say? Are there some people speaking into your life right now and you're just not listening? People are going to get hurt. Relationships are going to be broken. There are consequences that you don't intend. Your good intentions are going to be wasted. This morning, the wisest decision you'll ever make in your life is to embrace the person of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in just a few moments, we're going to all stand and we're going to sing a song of worship. And it's an opportunity for us, after hearing God's word, to express our desire to the Father in song. It's also an opportunity for us to respond. And maybe you're here and today you're not a Christian, but you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved. While we're singing, we have some of our pastoral team that's going to be here at the front. We have some of our prayer volunteers that are going to be at the back of each row and at the back of the building. If God's spoken to you and you're ready to give your life to Christ today, while we're singing, you just slip out of your seat, come to one of these at the front or one at the back and say, I want to know Jesus today. And they'll share with you from God's Word. Maybe you're here this morning and you're already a Christian, and maybe you're just struggling in some areas of decision making and you just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you just need somebody to help speak into your life today. That's why these prayer volunteers and pastors are here this morning. If you need to talk with someone after, while we're singing, you feel the liberty to slip out of your seat and come to one of these, and we'll sit down with you and show you from God's Word what God's Word has to say about the situation that you're in. Father, use this time for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.